Born, the only station making jazz waves.
With somebody new, but does that mean that I've been untrue when we're apart? The words in my heart reveal.
Hey, hey, this is the Gothabilly Man, your friendly neighborhood beatnik, inviting you to join me for the Recce Hours Rockabilly Psychabilly radio program every Monday from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on the station Making Waves, WHFR.FM. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Deb Foggio, and she is an intuitive life path consultant and owner of the Center for Integrative Well-Being in Plymouth, Michigan. Good afternoon, Deb. How are you?
I am fantastic.
As always. You're always fantastic. How do you keep that attitude up?
You know what? You get to choose how you're going to experience life. Through your thoughts and through the words that you speak. So I am very conscious and aware of the things that I say, and I want to experience life in joy and peace and ease and grace. So those are the words that I speak. What I want, I speak it.
Mm-hmm. And if your attitude is not so good, do those words help you?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you're having a moment, I'd love to say that every minute of the day I am tuned into that perfect energy of love and light. But, you know, I'm here to have a human experience.
Right. Yes.
And in those moments when I am having that human experience, I will acknowledge that I feel this way or that way, that may not be so great. But then that enables me to move past it and say, in my next moment, mm-hmm. I'm going to have fun or be joyful or experience prosperity. I am creating my own future by my conscious thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs. So I take responsibility for that. And as a result, because I want to experience a good life, I'm having a good life.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's having the human experience. Now, I'm sure there are times when you're sad or mad. How do you work through something like that?
Well, the first thing you have to do is you really have to acknowledge where you're at in the moment. So to deny it is not helpful. To acknowledge it allows you to release the energy. So you just say, you know, right now at this moment, I'm unhappy. Right now at this moment, I'm sad. I'm angry. You breathe out, wait for a beat. But in my next moment, I am going to be joyful. I see that my attitude or whatever I'm experiencing is leading me to something good. I may not know what it is, but I know that as I'm authentic and I deal with it, that it will lead me to something that is good, because life, by default, always leads us to good. That's just the way that life is. You can circumvent that by staying stuck wherever you're at, by not consciously choosing to see what's going on, get the wisdom from it, and move on. But the key is that you have the opportunity always in every moment to experience life the way that you desire to experience it. And that comes from your beliefs, your thoughts, and your words.
Mm-hmm. So if you do get angry, do you stop for a minute? Like you said, take a breath, move on, think positive. It must happen occasionally where it lingers, though, doesn't it?
I would say yes. There is a moment, but for me, as the better that I get at doing what I'm doing, I literally nip it in the bud and recognize, okay, my emotions are telling me that something that I am thinking and perceiving is out of alignment with the truth. Once I recognize that, now I can become more factual. Now I've taken my power back. The incident is not controlling me. What I am seeing is that the incident is leading me to some type of wisdom that I need to move into that good that always happens by default. So depending on how active I am at discerning whatever that wisdom or that information is, determines how long I'm going to stay in that state. But once I make the conscious choice to acknowledge I'm angry, I recognize, oh, if I'm angry, that means that my thoughts are out of alignment for the way that I am choosing to experience my life. Let me discover how my thoughts are making me out of alignment. And with that, the wisdom will come for me to shift, because ultimately the responsibility of my life is mine. I know that's hard for a lot of people to swallow, especially when they're in situations where they feel like things are so out of their control. But the truth of the matter is, how you think and how you perceive is always your choice. Nobody can make you do that. You're choosing every moment, either by making a conscious choice or by default. But by default, you're still choosing not to choose, which is a choice. So the key that you want to remember is, I am responsible for my thoughts, my beliefs. As I am responsible for my thoughts, I can turn them around and make them move into an arena of energy that I choose to experience. And as I change my thoughts on the inside, the external has to change. Because when we change our energy, the external changes. Now, does it happen overnight? No. And thank God in some cases that it doesn't. But it does eventually change. When we change, even the people around us change, because they have to change as a result of how we are presenting ourselves, as a result of the energy that we're putting out. So we are consciously creating our environment, and we are always responsible for that. And as we have patience and understanding in this process, we will get to that place of joy and peace and love and prosperity that we know is our truth. And we are always moving in that direction. How quickly we get there, once again, is in our hands by the thoughts that we choose.
Right. We all have to be responsible for our thoughts and actions.
Absolutely. And who wouldn't want to be?
Right. Well, theoretically anyway, it sounds good. Now, I've heard you talk before, and I know you propose that everybody should live in the now. How does one do that?
First and foremost, what you want to be concerned with is what is going on around you in this minute, because it's the only thing that you can control. You can't control the past. It's already happened. You can't change it. No matter how many times you replay it in your head, it doesn't change. The only thing that will, in quotes, change the past is when you change your attitudes. When you change your attitudes and your perceptions, then as you review the past, you will see it differently. But once again, that's in the now moment. How you feel, what you think in this moment. A lot of us spend time either in the past or in the future. And key is, the future hasn't come yet. Constantly think about where you want to be and what you want to have happen and how this is going to unfold and that is going to unfold is only good to a point in terms of visualizing how you want things to be. But to constantly live in the future is to live in a place where things are uncertain and where you don't know if the things are going to show up because you're not making the choices in the now moment that are necessary. So the best thing that you can do in grounding yourself in the now moment is to start with some gratitude. Be grateful for what you have right now. And that may be a small thing. Be grateful you're in a room that has heat on a cold day.
Yeah,
be grateful for the fact
that's very important.
Yeah, that's right. If you have a banana for breakfast, or you have a banana with your cereal, or that you have a refrigerator that you can open that keeps food cold, or any number of things, running water. Sometimes you just start with being grateful for the basics. That in itself has an energy that is contagious. It moves through you until you start to recognize that there are more things that you have than what you don't have. Now, this shifts your attitude immediately. You may not have all the things that you want, but when you're present and grateful for what you have in the now moment, you will see that you are living and experiencing prosperity. It grounds you and enables you to feel safe and secure. Gratitude grows into an energy that expands your prosperity, and it keeps you in the present. So right now, in this moment, I can do something to impact whatever is going on right now. It eventually will impact my future, but right now I have control over what is right in front of me. And once I make that choice, once again, I'm building that energy to feel very, very good.
So do you express gratitude every single day?
Absolutely. Sometimes many moments of the day, depending on what kind of day right. I might be mm-hmm. having. I don't want to move into the future where it's supposition, and I don't want to review what's happened in the past. I can't change it. Where I have my power is in the now moment, being present, observing what's going on, and making the best choices for what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's hard for most people to live in the now. Again, what do you suggest people do to start living in the now?
Be very conscious of absolutely everything that you're doing, every choice that you're making. Be very present with it. It is about bringing your focus into what you're doing. And at first, you might be hyper-focused on something. You know, I'm cooking dinner. I'm getting celery out of the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. I'm washing it off. I'm now cutting off the tops and, you know, whatever you're doing. But eventually that will expand. The mind is a beautiful instrument, a tool that can be most beneficial to us when we utilize it the way that it was intended. That's like any other muscle that you're trying to build. You want to do constant, repetitive actions, movements that are going to create what it is that you want. So even a vigilant exercise like that, I'm looking at the celery. It's three colors of green now that I look at it. It's deep green here, it's light green here, it's a lighter green here. When you start to do that, it draws you into the now moment. You keep practicing that and you're going to be ever more present with everything that you're doing. Then you'll start looking at things and really taking in the data that's always there for you to take in. You'll start looking at people or things or colors, and you'll start to recognize there's a lot of information here for me to use in order to make choices. Now, the more information I have, the better choices that I can make in life, and that's really important.
Mm-hmm. So you suggest everybody do that? Just covering the little things, maybe I'm standing here brushing my teeth, just to get in that habit of thinking about things in the now.
Absolutely, because what it will show you is where your thoughts have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you become present in that moment, you recognize, oh, I just spent 20 minutes thinking about something that happened yesterday that I can't change.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've just spent, 25 minutes worrying about something to come in the future that, number one, I don't know for sure that it's going to happen, because we can't guarantee that anything is going to happen. We can guess. Mm-hmm. We can make a calculated guess. But the point of fact is there are so many variables that we have no idea of knowing what's going to happen around some other things, that things can turn up in a totally different way than we wasted 25 minutes thinking about the possibility of one thing. Now, if we use our thoughts constructively and we visualize positive things happening, then we are in that space where we know, okay, I'm not guessing. What I'm doing is I am working to lay a roadmap of what I want to experience. I am taking that energy and I'm using it for good. Whereas when we're worrying, we're just taking energy and wasting it or utilizing it in a way to create things that we don't want. Now we're guessing that some reality is going to happen, but we don't have the variables to make sure that that's absolutely what's going to happen. So we've just wasted our time making ourselves feel bad. Whereas visualization is a knowing that I am putting these things out there because these are the choices that I would like to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the stronger I feel about that, the more that I know that something of that nature will happen. But I also take into account that there is a divine creator out there that is going to work the elements that I don't know. With worrying, we don't think about that. But we are more present, we are more powerful, we are more positive, we are more disciplined with our thoughts when we use that process to visualize the good things that we want to have happen.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my very special guest is Deb Foggio, and she is an intuitive life path consultant and owner of the Center for Integrative Well-Being in Plymouth, Michigan. Now, do you meditate on a regular basis, and does that help you stay focused?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Meditation is a powerful tool of healing for all of us. When we meditate, we get very, very, very quiet. And literally the idea is to stop thinking. When we stop thinking, we actually hit a reset button.
Mm-hmm.
That allows us to go back into that that powerful place of centered where we know that all is well. And as we do this, the body, the first benefit is that the body can now relax. The stresses that we are holding from the day will be released. And we will gift ourselves with a healing of the physical body as a result. Secondarily, our thoughts will subside. So when we are on that hamster wheel, continuing to worry about things that we have no control over, we will stop, get off the hamster wheel, and like I said, reboot, come back to a neutral point where our perspective is better. And then on a spiritual level, we reconnect with that energy that is connected to all things. Whether you're aware of it doesn't matter in terms of it existing. It exists whether you are aware or conscious of it or not. But once you become conscious of it, then you can utilize the benefits of that powerful energy, that knowing that we are a part of a whole that runs through all of life, and have the ability to tap into that power and that wisdom in a way that will be beneficial. Now at this point, we are listening. God is always speaking, and you call God whatever you want, whatever it is for you, because God is an individual experience. You may envision God as a being, it may be an energy, people experience it as that thing that connects all of nature, you may see it as light, but whatever it is, it runs through all living things, and we are connected to it. We cannot be disconnected. We can have the perception that we're disconnected, but we are connected. And when we go into meditation, we feel and see and know that connection, which then empowers us. And that in itself will bring your attitude back to a place of feeling good and thinking that all things are possible. So meditation is very important to putting yourself into an environment where you richly can experience all the creative power that you have.
Mm-hmm. And what do you recommend, doing it daily for 20 minutes or so?
Everybody has a different measure for how much they need in meditation. Some people don't feel like they're centered unless they've had 2 hours worth of meditation every day. I've done 2 hour meditations and they're great. Do I have time for them in my life every day? No. Do I wish I did? Yes. Mm-hmm. But for me, meditation can be anywhere from 15 minutes to 45 minutes to an hour, depending on how much time we have. We do at the center meditation every Wednesday night, and it's a group meditation, and it's from 7:30 to 9:30. But what we do first is we sit down and we connect with each other, because wherever there is more than one person gathered with the intention of doing the same thing, it enhances the energy that's available to all. So we sit down and we connect and we talk about what's going on in the now moment, and then we set an intention. What do we want to experience in our meditation? As a result of that, we have the opportunity to receive that, because we've put ourselves into that mode of receiving. We're open to that wisdom and that information. And our meditation itself lasts for anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour after that. And that's great. We get to share afterward, and it's a powerful experience. Daily, 15, 20 minutes, and I feel like that's at least the minimum that brings me back to center. I try to stay in a prayerful place. So when I get up, before I move forward in the day, I pray. And before I go to bed at night, I pray. And I also pray during the day. But I set the dynamic for my day before I even get out of the bed. Once I've had experiences during the day, at a time when it's quiet, and I'd like to say that time was the same time every day, but it isn't. But I will come back into center just to kind of review or reconnect so that my perspective always stays clear. The more clear my perspective about the truth of life, the better experience I'm going to have, the better choices I'm going to make.
Mm-hmm. So you do that first thing in the morning, as opposed to getting up and getting that first cup of coffee during the day and
I pray
getting a start?
Before I get out the bed, I make sure that I set the dynamics of my day, and I remember that I am a part of a whole. And I pray that my actions will be beneficial to myself in the highest way possible, and to the good of the whole in the highest way possible. And that sets my intention to bring to me good things during the day. And even things that are challenging and appear challenging aren't necessarily not good. Mm-hmm. Everything is for your good. It's about how much you're willing to discern and look for what comes in the things that happen during the day. You may not like them, but that doesn't mean it's not good for you. It doesn't mean it doesn't bring you something good that you require.
Mm-hmm. You might have to pause and determine what lesson you're to learn with every situation during
Absolutely.
Your day.
Absolutely. And sometimes those lessons are not about anybody outside of you. It's about you. It's mm-hmm. about you and your attitude and your perception and your actions as a result of that. So when you bring it back to center, it really is all about you.
Yeah, right. So it doesn't pay to play that blame game?
No, absolutely not. We have experiences that come to us to show us where we are not as polished and bright as we think we are. And when we make those small shifts in attitude as a result of receiving those truths, then we do become brighter and lighter and experience life in greater ways and draw more prosperity to us.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did mention the center, and I know you have many different classes that go on at the center.
Yes, we do.
And one that was fairly recent really caught my eye, and I know we've talked a little bit about it, and I know you know where I'm going here. Now, in the past, I've had Lynn Klassen on. She's a face reader. I
yes.
know you know Lynn.
Yes.
I've also had Darlene Deming. She's, you know, a palm reader.
Yes.
Very good at what she does. And yet you go to the other end of the body spectrum and you read people's feet.
That is correct.
Now, how did you get started doing that?
Well, it's one of the many, many, many tools that I have in my toolbox. How we experience life and the wisdom that we can discern comes in many ways. You know, we're multidimensional, multifaceted beings. So all of us are not going to take the same route to enlightenment. And depending on what we like or what our life experience is supposed to be, we come in different ways to the door to open it up and experience that greatness within us. So I happen to be clairvoyant. I'm clairaudient, clairsentient. I am intuitive. And as a result of that, I've had many, many, many life experiences. And I'm also a seeker. I love the fact that my life turned out that way. I love seeking metaphysical truth. I love seeing the greater and higher dynamics of life. So I have trained on many levels to experience the greatest truth that my intuitiveness can bring forward. And that's always about helping people find the greatness within them, whatever way it takes. So I am psychic and I do readings for people, and those readings can be, in quotes, what people know as traditional or sometimes the not traditional, which is toe reading. Mm-hmm. The body in itself is a hologram for how we are experiencing life. So that's why everybody looks so different, because they're taking in the information, all the variables, all the data that's out there in the world, and they're processing it differently. And as their spirit processes it, what it does is create the body to be a reflection of the truths that people hold. So in your face, in your hands, or in your feet are roadmaps of your experiences and your beliefs. And they are continually changing and evolving. So we know our face doesn't stay the same. It changes.
Yeah, it sure doesn't. You're right about that.
There are dynamics that are huge that change about our face, and there are some things that are smaller. It's ever-evolving. Same thing in your hand. The lines in your hands change, mm-hmm. depending on your life experience. Well, your feet are a roadmap to your destiny, to your life experience. And the beauty of you have two hands and you have two feet, and we are a dynamic world in that we're polarized to some extent. The yin and the yang, you've heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
The negative, the positive, the male, the female. You know, we have an experience that's polarized. So when it comes to the feet, your feet tell a whole story about you, but one foot represents one aspect of information and the other foot represents another aspect of information. Then you have the beauty of 10 toes, and 10 mm-hmm. toes can reveal to you things about yourself as well. Nothing in the feet happens by chance. So whatever's going on in your feet has been created as a result of your life experience. And when you look at your feet and you understand what that experience is, that truth that's being explained to you, you can look at the dynamics of yourself that maybe you're not so ready to acknowledge. But they're going to show up in your feet. You can't deny it. So it's a great indicator for where you're really standing in your truth. Ha ha, pun on words. Where you're really standing in your
Very
truth.
Very important.
So feet are an easy way to take a look at where am I standing on my path? Where am I standing in my truth? Very, very easy way to look at it and then take in the information and then change whatever it is that you need to change in terms of your thoughts or your actions.
Once again, this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Deb Foggio, and she is an intuitive life path consultant and owner of the Center for Integrative Wellbeing in Plymouth, Michigan. Right now, we're talking about feet, so that's very interesting. Now, can you actually look at a person's feet? I know they have the lifeline on the hands,
yes.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that corresponds to the feet in that same way?
Absolutely. You can tell if you are walking your path, the path that you're intended, by looking at your toes. So, toes, when you are born, are called natural. You have natural toes. You have natural feet. That is the perfect blueprint for whatever it is that you're here to do. And we're here to experience life and joy and peace and love and power. And when we do that, our toes are evenly spaced. They're straight. They're smooth. The dynamics of our toes change. Like some people may have a very big bulbous big toe. And the big toe is called the destiny toe or the ether toe. And some people have more narrow, pointed toes. Well, if your toe is very round and big, you have come here to do something important. Some people have huge, you know, destiny toes. And it's because they're here to do something important. And the more round the toe in that respect, you know, the more that they connect with people, the more that they may be eloquent, the more that they may be able to see the big picture, that kind of thing. Whereas if you have a toe that's more pointed, you tend to be more factual, you tend to be more direct in your communications, you're more pointed in where you're going in life. And so you can look at your toes in that respect and see where you're going. So if you break the toes down, your big toe is called your destiny toe or the ether toe. If that toe is straight, i.e. when you place your feet flat on the ground and you're perfectly balanced, that toe would be straight. Then you're walking your path the way that you were intended and nothing has obstructed you or you have let nothing obstruct you. But sometimes people have toes that are bent and turned to the side and they have the beginnings of it looks like a bunion, but really it's a bump of destiny in that you've had a lot of challenges. And when your toe is turned either on the left foot to the right, to the left, and on the right foot to the right, then you've had things push you off path. So the more the toe is bent going in that direction, the more that you have obstacles that have pushed you off your path. Then the second toe is called the air toe, and that's the communication toe. If that toe, for some people, is longer than their destiny toe or their big toe, it means that they talk a lot, that they're the thing that they're good at, the thing that they are here to do is to use communication in whatever their fulfilling, you know, destiny is. They like to talk, they're here to talk. If that toe is very rounded, then they have a tendency, once again, to incorporate all, to be more consistent in taking in the feelings and concerns of other people. The more pointed that toe, the more direct individuals are, and they can be, you know, very blunt and overt in making sure that people understand them. Then the next toe, which would be the third toe on either side, is called the fire toe. The fire toe is the do it or don't do it toe. It's the take action toe. And once again, if it's pointed and straight, then that means, you know, when you have a task to do it, that you go after it, that you are very direct in attaining it, that nothing is going to hold you back. If for whatever reason, sometimes people's feet are pointed toward the ground. And what that means is that they feel that their energy, their actions, everything that they've done has not been listened to. It hasn't moved forward. It's just been absorbed into the earth. It's been, in quotes, pointless in that mm-hmm. respect. They haven't been heard. They're not being paid attention to. Their energy is not going where they want to go. Sometimes the action toe or the fire toe will be leaned on very heavily by the communication toe or the air toe. And that means that those two aspects of you rely on each other. And if one is overlapping the other one, so if the air toe is overlapping the action toe, you talk too much. You talk all of your energy out into the universe and you don't get things done. Sometimes it's the other way around. The action toe can suppress, if your toes are all cramped, can suppress how much you need to speak what it is that you want to do. And sometimes they just touch lightly, which means that those two are related for you. So that talking is a part of your plan of action and getting out there and doing what needs to be done. Okay, so then the next toe, which is the fourth toe, is called the relationship toe. And that toe indicates how you are in relationship with people. And you can look at a person, and if they are truly in the now moment, that toe will be straight. But a lot of people, I've seen more people's toes pointed toward the past when it mm-hmm. comes to relationships, because they're constantly thinking about what happened, what did I do, blah, blah, blah. So first of all, right. reviewing over and over again, which is not taking them anywhere. Garner the information from it and then let go of the event. Take it, digest it, move forward. And then finally, the baby toe is different on each toe. It has a different meaning. When it comes to the right foot, the right foot is an indication of where you stand in the world, how you relate to other people, and how you're walking your destiny. And so the baby toe is on the right foot has to do with prosperity. So if that toe is hidden under other toes, it means that you're insecure and you're not doing whatever's necessary to garner and bring to you the prosperity that's yours to have. Everybody comes into this world with a right to all the prosperity that there is. And since it's unlimited, you having prosperity cannot keep the next person from being prosperous. Only a person can keep prosperity from themselves through their thoughts. So if that toe is flat and if it's pointed and it's not hidden by the other toes, then you're doing a good job. But if that toe is bent and it's up underneath the relationship toe, then you are hiding from your prosperity and you need to do something about it. On the left foot, the left foot has to do with how you are relating to yourself, how you see yourself relating in terms of understanding, and it has to do with the spiritual side of life. So the baby toe on the left foot has to do with trust, how much you trust the universe, how much you trust God, how much you trust yourself in this process. So if it's hidden, which often it will be if you're on the right foot, the baby toe is hidden, then because you don't trust, you're not trusting yourself, you're not able to manifest that kind of prosperity that you deserve. But the more you move into trust, then the more you're going to experience prosperity in the world, because mm-hmm. you trust the universe is supporting you and you trust that you're doing whatever is necessary to make those things happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about, say, athletes that use their feet quite a bit? Sometimes, I know I used to run cross country, and as a result, I have calluses on my toes, and I'm sure there are ballerinas also that, as they go on through their careers, become misshapen, things like that. And that still plays a part in who you really are, even though that it's something they can't control necessarily?
And they are controlling it. Really? Everything matters. Everything that happens on your feet matters. It happens because it's an indicator for whatever it is that you are holding. So in the case of ballerinas, you know, their toes, their feet are confined, and they do a lot in terms of the process of dance. But those things absolutely reflect whatever the dynamics are within themselves. So only a person who has these emotional issues, so to speak, that need to become aware of them would even pursue dance in mm-hmm. that way, because that's going to reveal within them whatever their challenges are, how they're perceiving life. So, or women, you know, women wear these, you know, 4-inch heeled shoes. In some ways, they are being forced by society through the thoughts that society imprints on us that this is necessary for their expression of self. Well, in that respect, when they have alterations or adapted toes, that's what they're called, adapted toes, when our toes adapt to our environment, what it's saying about that person is they're buying into that mass belief system. And so therefore, they pick those shoes because it will show, it will create in their feet a representation of how they think in that way. Same with athletes, same thing. Calluses are indications of hard skin. Hard skin is indication of emotions that we tackle that we may not have moved through. Well, if you look at the life of an athlete, they cannot accept that certain ways of expressing are okay. If you need to run, what did I say, a 4-1 in order to be a great, you know, football player, well, you can't accept that you're at a 4-5. You know, what you've got to do is continue to work on those things that are going to make you able to run that 4-1. Well, and that means that you've got to tackle some of your emotions and belief systems, and that might be a hard process. So it creates calluses on the feet to indicate that there were thoughts that you bumped up against, and it was a hard process in changing those thoughts. Calluses represent that.
Mm-hmm. So intuitively, if someone decides to become a ballet dancer, they know that along the way that their feet will reflect the true person they are?
Not necessarily.
No?
That in their spirit, in each one of us, in our spirit, we know that everything matters. In each one of us, we have a knowing of absolutely all things that exist in the world. Will they intuitively know that their feet are going to reflect that? Now, maybe I should back that up and say maybe, but it won't be conscious. It's not conscious. We have a knowing about all things. So their desire to dance is going to be based on the expression of the self. Will it manifest in the feet, show up how that's working? Yes. Do they choose that 9 times out of 10 because they know that's going to happen on some level? I'd say the likelihood is very low.
Mm-hmm. So not necessarily.
Yeah, not necessarily. But do we intuitively know the truth? Yes. Do we know that our feet reflect the truth of our life? Yes. Do mm-hmm. we know that? Do we believe it? Sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes not. There are lots of things that we don't believe that are truths, but it just shows our level of development.
Mm-hmm. And what do other parts of the feet show us? You know, arches or anything like that, does that play a part in how a person is?
Everything plays a part. If you have, let's look at color. Mm-hmm. Color of the feet. Some people have very red feet. Well, red feet are indications of anger, unexpressed anger. So it's showing up, you know, in the feet. Like your toes may be red around the edges, you know, which means that you're harboring some kind of anger that you haven't worked through. And anger is just an emotion that shows you that your thoughts are out of alignment. It doesn't have an energy except the energy that you give it by not looking at it. Emotions are indicators for us where we are not walking our true path. It doesn't have to do with anybody else, it has to do with us. So once we discern that we are out of alignment with joy, so, you know, we're unhappy or we're angry. Once we just, I'm angry. Oh, what's that mean? It means that I'm out of alignment with my truth. My actions are not in alignment with what the truth is for me. Once I do that, the anger can literally and will literally fall away, because now you're in a place of looking at, discerning what is the truth. What should I be thinking? What am I doing that's counter to what my spirit wants me to do? And once I discern that, then I move back into sync. Happy, joy, joy, all over again.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you become aware that feet are something you can read?
I was I'm a seeker. Mm-hmm. I'm a perpetual seeker of wisdom and truth. So I was at a conference in Arizona, and I, like anybody else, was like, what? Toe reading? What's that?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the common reaction.
Yeah, what is that? Then when I found out that it was a whole spiritual process, I was quite amazed, because when a person reads your feet, it's really a very spiritual experience for both of you. You know, feet in the Bible were very important. Before mm-hmm. they went into ceremony, they always washed the feet first, because it's an indicator of creating an awareness into the spiritual truth of your life, into the spiritual truth of life. So when someone is at your feet, they are giving you an opportunity to reveal the truth and release energies that have been captured in your energetic field and that are creating opportunities for you to go in a direction different than what your spirit wants you to do. So when someone reads your feet, they are at your feet, kneeled at your feet, in a very humble position to allow you to have the opportunity to heal through the release of the energy that is allowing you to be less than what you were truly intended to express being here in this world.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very interesting, some of the things you pointed out about feet. I think most people hear feet and they kind of snicker, like, oh yeah, right, you can really do that. And they just take it for granted that there's no way that it's going to show anything, but it does. And I think it's interesting that somebody obviously has discovered that and has studied that.
Absolutely. The woman who taught the workshop that I own, that I went to, owns a school called SWIHA, Southwest Institute of Healing Arts, and it's in Arizona. And she has been a reflexologist for over 30 years and really went through the process of understanding the dynamics of feet. What people have started to understand is that feet actually relate to every point, every organ that you have in the body. That's what reflexology is. Mm-hmm. So when you press certain points on the feet, you are actually massaging those organs or releasing toxins from those organs. And so the work that she did, over 30 years, really helped her to understand the dynamics. And so she's a great teacher in teaching being able to discern the information that's in feet that will help you on your path. And once you have this information, you can look at your own feet and tell. You'll see the changes in your feet. All of a sudden now you have calluses that you didn't have before. You mm-hmm. have blisters, or you have skin that's peeling. And, you know, you look at the feet of people who've had a very hard life, and their feet are distorted.
Mm-hmm.
They're distorted. Their toes are gnarled and twisted and turned. You look at the feet of Oriental women who had their feet bound mm-hmm. when they were young, and you see the distortions. And literally, their lives at that time, they had no control over their lives, and their feet are representative of that. They show where, you know, everything is twisted and turned and contrary to healthy feet and a healthy life. So it's just a powerful way that you can quickly or in depth look at your feet and determine where you're at in your life. And the more information that we have, the sooner we will walk the path that will lead us to happiness.
Mm-hmm. Keep those toes straight, right?
Keep those toes straight. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, because toes are adaptable, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
They can change. So if you notice that there is something, it's an interactive experience. How you deal with your feet is interactive. So when you have manicures done, mm-hmm. when you have pedicures done, there's this instrument that they use. They're toe separators. Mm-hmm. And you put them between your toes, and it enables the manicurist to then work on each toe individually and then paint your toes without them, you know, touching each other, messing up your pedicure. But the beauty of that particular tool, the toe separator, is if you wear toe separators at night when you sleep, it starts to adapt your toes back to the way that they looked when they were natural toes. As a result of you changing your feet in that way, you will now change your attitudes, your opinions, your thoughts, because mm-hmm. it's a give and take. So just like the attitudes that you have change your feet, when you change your feet, you also change the attitudes that you have. It's a very dynamic process. We have many ways that God has given us to be successful, to have control mm-hmm. over our life and to move into whatever it is that we want to do and experience.
Right, but also outside signs to show us where we're at and possibly where we're headed.
Signs are everywhere.
Uh-huh, that's true. Now, if you're out and about during the summer, do you find yourself maybe glancing at people's feet? Maybe they're wearing a pair of sandals or whatever. Do you kind of look at that and make a thumbnail sketch of what kind of person they are?
It's kind of hard not to do that, but I really work at not doing that because mm-hmm. My training as a psychic, as an intuitive, is all about only going where I'm invited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people see a psychic, they think they can read your every thought. Well, number one, we can't. You know, it just doesn't work that way.
Right.
We do not have access to everybody's deepest, darkest secrets. You know, so when I walk in a room and someone says that I'm psychic, I can see people's eyes getting really big, like, oh my
right.
God, she knows everything about it. Number yeah. one, I don't want to know everything
right.
about you.
Right.
I just don't. Right. So the respectful, the spiritual way, the honoring way is I don't go where I'm not invited. So looking at a person's feet, if I just happen to glance at the ground and I see something, I can't deny the knowledge that I have and know. But to look at a person's feet to discern what they're like without an invitation is rude.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't do that. And I wait until I am invited in. And then I will see what I see and share what I know.
Mm-hmm. And once again, I just want to remind all you loyal listeners that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my very, very special guest, I'm really enjoying this interview, is Deb Foggio, and she is an intuitive life path consultant and owner of the Center for Integrative Wellbeing in Plymouth, Michigan. Now, I have been introducing you as an intuitive life path consultant. What is that?
Like I said earlier, there are many ways, many doors that we can walk through in order to understand the process of life, understand ourselves, and then how we work that process. We are here to learn and experience life for the divine as well as for ourselves. And how we do that depends on the choices in life that we make. When we get to a certain point, and everybody gets there, I don't care who you are, we recognize that there's more to us, there's more that we want, and we don't necessarily know how to get there. So my job, my mission, is to help people open that door and walk through it to create life the way that they want to experience it. And there is a process to creating life that is just as tangible as learning subtraction and addition and multiplication. The key is that there are no places in the world, for the most part, that just sit down and teach you that life curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you go about it. This is what you do. This is the process. So when people get to that point where they want more, and that point comes at different times for different people. Somebody can be extremely successful as it relates to financial wealth in that respect, but they're not prosperous because they don't have love, or they don't have peace of mind, or they don't have a connection with God. Or you have someone over here who has a very successful job, but it's not the job that brings them joy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have someone over here who is doing very well in terms of their connection with other people, but they don't really know the depth of who they are and what it is that they want to do, and that makes them unhappy, and they know that there's something more. So each money or financial well-being is not representative of a person's, in quotes, prosperity or their fulfillment on their path of life. So what happens is that I somehow come into their life one way or another. They find me. And then I help them in the way that works for them. So for some people, I teach psychic development classes, okay, because they have an intuitive knowing within themselves. And it's very strong, and they've never developed it because the outside world says, you know, that's not a godly thing. It's just not right. Or, you know, there's a lot of fear that's around it that has nothing to do with truth. It just has to do with illusion. So I teach psychic development classes, which help people understand that intuitiveness to help them to understand and be able to read the data and the information that they're receiving so that it's not haphazard, so that they totally understand it. And in that, it's a very spiritual experience, is that they find themselves, they find that connection to the divine, their life starts to open up, they're taking in this spiritual data and knowledge, and then they have the ability to see in other people the same thing that they saw within themselves, and to help them in whatever way those people request. Okay, so psychic development classes is one thing. The other thing that I do is I teach dream classes, because God is always talking to us in a number of ways. Like I said, there are many doorways that lead us to enlightenment. Dreams is another one. Dreams has a whole symbolic language of its own. When you start to understand your language, the language of dreams, and when you understand the process of how dreams work, then once again, you are now able to discern more clearly what's going on in my life. What's going on? What's going to happen today? What happened last week? What do I need to work through? And then I have just a number of other classes and workshops where it enables people to move into that healing space. My life coaching program literally teaches the creative process. And it shows people how we create life from all the dynamics. So it's not just visualizing. You can visualize to you know, kingdom come. But if you don't believe it, nothing is going to happen. So you have to understand the dynamics of how we create totally. And that is a mixture of a spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical dynamics that we need to put together in order to experience the life that we want. And then understand the path, that how it shows up sometimes doesn't show up the way that we thought it would, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to go exactly where we want to go. So I teach that as well. So depending on what door you need to walk through, that's the door that will open first, and then we'll move forward. I am also a batch remedy, batch flower remedy consultant. Some people know it as Bach Flower Remedies, but the real pronunciation is batch. And that helps people to move through their emotional blocks that are in their energy field. And as they do, they free up the data that they need in order to be able to experience their life better, to understand the things that have happened to them. So it's a title that describes the umbrella under which I operate, depending on where a person is at and what I can do for them in terms of helping them to become aware and make the choices themselves. Nobody can help you by telling you, you're this, you're that, you need to do this, blah, 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 blah. On some level, you have to take that in as truth. And if you can discern that from within yourself, it is more believable, it is more powerful, it is more impactful in making you change, do the things that are required to change. So I like to open the door and assist people as they walk in and understanding what they're seeing, and then eventually they are going to do it for themselves.
So people may surprise themselves. Again, you said they go through one door thinking they just need to work in one area, and then they open up a door, and that leads to maybe two more doors or three more doors. So it's an ongoing experience.
Absolutely. The other thing that I do is called systemic constellation work. And it's very hard to explain in words on the radio. It's something that you have to see in the experience. But the gist of it is that we create a symbolic knowing field. The knowing field is all in all of life. But we come to a place, we create a symbolic knowing field, and we do energetic work using placement of people and people as representatives of symbols in your life. And through this process, which I facilitate, where you stand in life, how you're experiencing it, will be literally shown to you in three dimension, right in front of you, with walking, talking people. It's the most amazing thing to see, because these are strangers, people you've never met in your whole life, but yet and still, they may say things that you say, they may act just like a relative of yours that you're, you know, in a challenging dynamic with or whatever. And as a result of this experience, you come to what's called a resolution picture. And in that resolution picture is the energy of this situation healed. Because it happens in the symbolic knowing field, it happens in the knowing field, period, which means you experience that change, you experience that healing, and your life starts to change and open up doors of different possibilities that you didn't see before. So that's another very dynamic tool that I use to assist people. And once again, when you can, from within yourself, realize what your challenge is and the answer to it, it is much more powerful than somebody telling you. So all the work that I do is to bring you to a point of being able to see the truth yourself. And then I am the accountability person. Because when we start to see our truth and the things we don't like, we go into resistance and we want to run. But you can't run from me.
You'll track them down wherever they are.
I'm your accountability person, and I do that in love, so that you know that it's safe to see that, say that you don't like it, say that you're scared of it, acknowledge that, and the second that you do, you move through it. The more you resist it, the stronger it becomes. So the key is, you want to acknowledge it, you want to do it in a place or with someone who is going to stand by you and who continues to see the good in you. I see the good in all people. No matter what your challenge is, I see the divine in you. I see the good in you. And that's been a challenge for me, because a lot of time I've expected people to act like they were already in a place where they weren't. And then it was a surprise for me. But that was part of my training. And I don't want to see less than the good in people, because we are constantly working to get there. So I meet people that, even in maybe their most scared or angry moments, I see the beauty of who they are, and I hold the space for that, and then they can move into it. And that's a blessing and a joy for me.
Do you ever get overwhelmed? You do so many things, and there are probably so many different facets that you do when you're working with clients. Does it overwhelm you sometimes when you have so many different tools to use to help people?
No, it's a beautiful feeling of co-creation with spirit. I don't know everything about everything. I don't know everything about everybody. But I am open to receive guidance from spirit. So it comes from beyond me. I don't calculate what a person needs. God is in the mix. And when we sit down, there's a co-creation. They come because they're guided in a particular way, and they know how they need to receive it. And I come being open to letting God direct me as to what's the best thing for them. And then we sit down and we co-create that together. So in many ways, you know, I'm not on the hook in that respect. Like, I have to know what I don't. I just have to be open, and God will lead me to the right thing that's right for each person. And each person is different. So there's not one dynamic that's going to work across the board. I've never repeated anything ever, because people are so unique. So I just allow my spirit in trust to be guided to what's right for people. And because the divine order operates in the world, it's always present. And I'm grateful for that, because once again, everything leads to the manifestation of good. And God knows all the variables that are required for that to happen. So if we just stand and we listen and we respond and we trust and we love, then the dynamic of whatever is required will show up in full force. It will work perfectly, and people will move to the other side of being healed and experiencing more love and more appreciation for their true spirit of who they are.
Now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so? And perhaps you can give the address for the center and all that good stuff?
Sure. And first off, I'm going to give my phone number, and that number is 248-702 7064. And I'd also like to say that every Wednesday, I do a radio show on WGPR, 8 o'clock and between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock on Wednesday mornings, and people can call in and they can ask questions, and I'll do little mini readings or answer their questions about dreams or coaching or whatever. So that's every Wednesday between, it's probably closer to 8:15 to 9 o'clock. That's Mason in the Morning on WGPR. Then the center's address is 42839 Five Mile Road, and we are in Plymouth, Michigan, and that zip is 48170, who anybody wants to Google and get a map and come out there. And I have two websites, www.integrativewellbeing.com, and that is integrative wellbeing.com. Have to spell that for people because they often can't find it. And then the other one, which is my personal website, is www.lightworks-enterprises.com. And you can go on the website. We have classes and workshops, and we have a whole new curriculum that's coming up in January. So we'll be doing psychic development classes and dream classes. We'll do an esoteric healing class. We're going to do classes on numerology and astrology and working with the archangels, and I mean, we just have a variety of things we'll be doing, and we'd love to have people come out. We do regular classes. There's meditation every Wednesday, 7:30 to 9:30, like I told everyone, and you know, you're welcome to come and sit down, and we have nominal fees for things. You know, we're a place where people are looking to expand their prosperity as well as expand yours. So you just check the website. It has all the information on it for whatever is needed. But we would love for people to come wherever they're at on their journey. The center, they're totally accepted wherever they are. We are in a place of just loving people because they are. God loves us just because we are. We love people just because they are, and we want to provide an opportunity for them to love themselves and to see that there is a greatness within them that is yet to be manifest, and to, no matter where you're at, no matter how old you are, that you have the opportunity to do your mission, which only you can do and which everyone else is counting on you to do, so that we all move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for doing the show. I appreciate it. I know this is your second appearance. The first time we talked about dreams, but this show has been very interesting as well. Once again, thank you very much for doing the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. You're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Well, thanks. I will try to.
No, you'll do it.
That's right. I just want to thank my guest, Deb Foggio, once again for being on the show. She is a intuitive life path consultant and also owner of the Center for Integrative Wellbeing in Plymouth, Michigan. Very, very interesting interview. Thank her. I want to thank her very much for doing the show. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, for doing this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Come back next month. We'll be back on Tuesday, the 19th of January. In the new year, I want to wish everybody a happy holiday season out there. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great day.
Dearborn. 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm your host, Jeff, and you're listening to One Chord to Another, where you'll hear some of the best new and slightly used indie rock and pop around. Thank you so much for joining me this Tuesday afternoon. I've got a great show coming up for you today. Well, anyone who might have tuned in last week expecting to hear One Chord to Another, I apologize for not being here, but I was out in Chicago seeing the band Sloan. They put on an amazing show and were just as gracious as ever. So being in the very Sloan mood that I am, I think I'm going to start the show with something off of